Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep into a very specific kind of DNB tension, low-end pressure breakdowns built around a ride groove that distorts and drives the whole section forward. This is the kind of move that gives jungle and old-school DNB that leaning into the system feeling, where the breakdown doesn't go dead, it just tightens the screws. We're working in Ableton Live 12, and the goal here is not just to make things sound aggressive, it's to make them feel controlled, heavy, and ready to explode back into the drop. So we're focusing on the relationship between the ride groove, the bass distortion, the drum bus, and the way all of that behaves in a mastering-aware arrangement. Think of it like this. The ride is your timekeeper. The bass is your pressure. The broken drums are the spark. If one of those layers tries to do everything, the groove starts to fall apart. But if each layer has a clear job, the whole breakdown starts to feel alive. First, set up a dedicated 16-bar breakdown section in your arrangement. If you already have a drop built, duplicate the main drum and bass groups into this new section, then strip it back. At the start, mute the full kick pattern and leave room for ghost motion. You want the section to breathe, but not go empty. Even in a breakdown, DNB needs momentum, so keep a chopped break tail, a distant sub pulse, maybe a reverse crash or a noise swell, just enough movement to imply that the track is still charging forward. Now let's build the ride groove. In this style, the ride should feel a little like a broken metronome with attitude, not a perfect hat loop. You can use a drum rack or an auto clip with a ride sample, but if you want a fast route to grit, drop the ride into simpler in classic mode. Shorten the decay just a little so the tail doesn't blur the groove. Then give it swing. Use the groove pool with a classic MPC style or 16th swing template, but don't overdo it. The point is to make it feel human and urgent, not lazy. Alternate the velocities too. Don't keep every hit the same. Try something like 75 to 110 in velocity, with slight accents on the off beats. Leave small gaps before snare hits so the groove can breathe, and maybe add one extra ride hit at the end of bars 4 or 8 to create a phrase lift. That little push can make a huge difference. For processing, start with EQ 8. High pass the ride somewhere around 250 to 400 HC so it stays out of the low-end conflict zone. If it gets harsh, notch a narrow band around 7 to 9 kHz. Then add drum bus. Keep the drive modest, maybe 5 to 15%. And only use a tiny bit of transient enhancement if you want more stick. After that, saturator with soft clip-on is great for thickening the top end without making it brittle. Just a small amount of drive is enough. We're shaping tone, not smashing cymbals into static. Now automate that ride. Over the breakdown, let the filter open gradually. You might start with a ride higher past around 500 HC and slowly open it down toward 250. Or 300 HC as the section develops. You can also bring the volume up by 1 or 2 dB in the last 4 bars. That kind of tiny rise feels way more powerful than people expect, because it's part of a larger tension arc. Next, the bass. This is where the pressure really lives. For mastering safe DNB, split the bass into two layers. One layer is the sub, and one layer is the distorted mid bass. The sub should be clean, mono, and stable. Use operator or wavetable and keep it simple. A sine or triangle-based sub works perfectly. Lock the notes tightly so it supports the kick and snare phrasing without wandering. The mid-bass is where the character comes from. Duplicate the MIDI, then use a richer sound, a reese, a saw-based wavetable, an FM-style tone, or a sampled bass stab. Shape that layer with auto-filter, saturator, overdrive, or roar if you want a harder modern edge. The key is to keep the low fundamental controlled so the sub can do its job underneath. If you want that club translation, this split is essential. On the mid layer, low pass or band shape it depending on the stage of the breakdown. You can automate the filter so it feels like the bass is breathing open over time. Add some saturation, but not so much that it turns to fuzz. A drive range of 2 to 8 dB is usually enough to give you harmonics that cut through on smaller speakers. If the bass feels cloudy, trim some low mid buildup around 180 to 350 Hz with EQ8. And if you're using a detuned or stereo bass sound, keep the low-end mono with utility. Width at 0% for the sub, and only open the width on the upper bass if the mix can handle it. Now group your drums and bass separately. Put the drums through a drum bus and the bass through a bass bus. This is where you start thinking like a mastering engineer. Even though you're still producing, you want the section to sound weighty, but not so finished that you've burned all your headroom before the drop. On the drum bus, use glue compressor lightly. A 2 to 1 or 4 to 1 ratio is enough, with a slower attack so the transients can still punch through. Aim for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Then add drum buffs for a bit of drive and grit if needed. Again, keep it controlled. The drum buffs should glue, not flatten. Use EQ8 to remove sub rumble below roughly 25 to 35 Hz and tame any boxiness around 250 to 500 Hz if the brake starts feeling muddy. On the bass bus, use EQA to carve space if the low mids are building up too much, maybe around 120 to 220 Hz depending on the material. Add saturator or roar to give the bass some harmonic edge. And keep checking mono with utility, especially in the low end. The whole point is that the drum and bass together should feel like one pressure system, not two separate things fighting for space. Now we get into the arrangement automation. And this is where the breakdown starts to feel like it's getting wound tighter every bar. Don't leave the distortion, brightness, and level static. If everything stays the same for 16 bars, the ear stops paying attention. Instead, automate small but meaningful changes. For example, over the course of the breakdown, bring the drive on the bass up by 1 to 3 dB in the final 8 bars. Increase the ride presence a little. Let the bass filter breathe more openly. Add a short reverb send to a snare hit at the end of a phrase, then pull it back right away. Maybe automate a little more saturation on the drum bus in the second half of the breakdown. Those small changes create motion without needing giant cinematic effects everywhere. This style of D&B lives on micro change. That's the real old trick. The groove itself becomes the arrangement. You don't need to constantly add new notes if the existing material is evolving in a smart way. To keep the breakdown sounding like jungle or old school D&B instead of a static loop, add break edits and ghost notes. Slice a break into a drum rack, then place ghost snare hits before or after the main backbeat. Add tiny stutters. Maybe create a one bar fill leading into the last 4 bars. Keep the main snare stable so the listener always has an anchor, but let the surrounding break fragments answer the ride. If the groove starts feeling too crowded, take things away. That's an important lesson. In this music, selective edits often hit harder than busy edits. A few well-placed ghosts can feel more dangerous than a wall of fills. Because this is a mastering-aware lesson, do a pre-drop systems check on the master bus while you're producing. Put a utility at the end so you can mono-check the full section. Use Spectrum if you want to keep an eye on the low end, and leave yourself around minus 6 dB of headroom if possible. Don't slam a limiter just to make the section feel loud. Judge the breakdown by balance, density, and tension, not by how pinned the master is. Ask yourself a few key questions. Is the sub still solid in mono? Does the ride guide the groove without masking the snare? Is the bass distortion adding useful harmonics or just turning into fuzz? Is the breakdown feeling louder because it's denser and more focused, not because it's clipped? Those checks matter a lot in D&B, especially if you want it to translate on a club system. Then, when it's time to set up the drop return, make sure the breakdown actually earns the release. In the final half bar or bar, pull the ride out. Let a crash or a reverb tail lead into the first hit. If you want extra impact, remove the bass mid layer for a moment, before the drop, or even let the sub vanish briefly so the return hits like a vacuum snapping shut. Then bring the sub back first, followed by the distorted mid bass on the next phrase. That staggered return is classic D&B phrasing, and it works because the listener feels the pressure release before the drop actually lands. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't distort the entire bass range. Split the sub from the mids. Don't make the ride too bright or harsh. Don't let the breakdown become random noise. Don't overdo fills. And don't let stereo low end cause phase issues. If the low end gets muddy, the problem is often in the 140 to 300 Hz zone, where distorted bass, room reverb, and break tails all stack up. Clean that overlap before you reach for more EQ boosts. If you want to push this further, try a few advanced variations. Build a negative space breakdown where only the ride, sub hits, and ghost fragments remain. Or add a half-time pressure shift in the last 4 bars by changing the snare placement or bass accents. You can also use the ride as more than a cymbal by giving it subtle resonance or tonal movement, so it behaves more like a texture hook. Another strong trick is the breakdown fake out. Open the filter, make it feel like the drop is about to hit. Then pull the bass away one bar early and leave a vacuum instead. That kind of move is brutal in the best way. Here's a fast practice challenge. Build an 8-bar breakdown at 174 BPM. Program a ride groove with swing and velocity variation. Make a clean mono sub and a distorted mid bass. Automate the mid bass filter opening across the 8 bars. Add one break edit or ghost snare every 2 bars. put drum bus on the drum bus with light glue. Then check the whole thing in mono and compare it against your drop. If it doesn't feel like pressure is building, remove elements before adding more. So the big takeaway is this. A strong DNB breakdown is not empty space. It's controlled tension. Build it from ride groove, distorted mid-bass, clean sub-discipline and small automation moves that keep the energy rising. Use Ableton stock tools to shape the pressure, watch your mono compatibility and headroom, and make every bar feel like it's leaning closer to the drop. When you get that balance right, the return hits hard, even without huge flashy effects. And that is exactly the kind of low-end pressure that makes old-school jungle and modern roller energy feel massive.